Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to say the infamous, I'm not going to be before you long. But we're just going to go ahead and get into the word that God has placed in my spirit. And I believe that this word will encourage you. It would help you continue to move on in the place that you are in. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to be before your people. And dear God, I pray, dear God, that as I share your word, dear God, that it would strengthen, dear God, it would build, it would even allow us to move forward in wherever we are at in you, dear God. I pray, dear God, number one, that we grow closer to you, dear God, that we move closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. So I'm a priest today about something that as I was reading in my devotional, something just clicked in me. And this is why it's important. I encourage you guys to read the Bible at least once a day. Okay. Get in your word at least once a day. Some of you, how do you do that? Look, the first thing you could do, just read the devotional. Some of them are not that long. You know, you could get a scripture if you need to. Get a dose of the word every day. Amen. And as I was reading my devotional, we're going to actually read part of what I read. It was in Nehemiah chapter 4. And Nehemiah, Brother Tamron, is one of those spots that everybody, I don't care if you've been in church a long time, some people don't really know the story of Nehemiah. Because it's not like Daniel. It's not like, oh, we know Daniel got thrown into the lion's den. David, we know he beat Goliath. Samson, we knew he had a problem with women and he beat up a whole bunch of people, right? But Nehemiah is one of the things where until you actually start digging into it, you're like, oh, what is Nehemiah about, right? So we're going to talk about Nehemiah, and today's sermon topic is called In the Middle. Somebody say, in the middle. In the middle. See, I believe sometimes in the middle is really where you're tested, all right? I've been watching and listening to a whole bunch of people talking about, anybody want to be debt-free in here? Anybody, is that a goal? Not only do we want to, are we actually taking steps to do that? So I hear a lot of people's, I watch Dave Ramsey and hear his thing where, you know, you get a debt snowball, knock out all the smallest ones, all the way to the biggest one, right? And, you know, there's people that call sometimes and they're like, Dave, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I'm in here in the middle and I've already cut out $60,000 worth of debt, but I got another 65 left and I don't know how to keep on. Somebody say in the middle. See, in the middle, that's when you're tested to actually see, is what you're doing really worth it? Because you've kind of been through some stuff, right? If anybody knows how you, when you're getting debt free, you have to cut some things back. Right. Yeah, that internet bill that you really want, you got to turn it off because it's $50 that you can save to knock out something else. Right. You might stop eating out just a little bit, you know, and everybody don't like that. I didn't get no amens when I said that, but you might not be eating out. Pastor Willie can't be doing the Uber to Eats or nothing like that. He got to stay home and cook. Right. And I mean, Dave Ramsey's extreme. He says you got to eat noodles every day. And I'm like, man, you could die from that, I think. But anyway, I'm just saying there is a sacrifice that it takes, right? Yes. And in the middle of that sacrifice, some of us still want a burger, right? Because it's like, I'm doing all of this. Is it worth it? Somebody say in the middle. See, I think it's easy to start things. How many of us, I can start, we got a New Year's, I believe in New Year's resolutions, right? Because I'm a goal-oriented person. Some people that don't like goals, they're like, I don't do that. I think that's corny. I don't think that's corny. I think if you actually, the Bible says, if you write the vision down and make it plain, it can happen, right? Amen. So I believe in that kind of stuff. But I believe that it's not just starting, is continuing while you're in the middle. Somebody say in the middle. All right, so look, we're gonna hop in the middle of the Word of God, and we're gonna go to Nehemiah chapter 4. And for some people that don't know about this story, Nehemiah was a man of God that built, just to make it simple, he built a wall. He rebuilt a wall. Amen. And the reason why they rebuilt this wall is because they had to rebuild what the kingdom of God. All right. The kingdom was torn down. This is in the middle of, I think this is in the middle of Babylon, right? Right after Babylon. So right after Babylon, this is when they had to be departed from Jerusalem. So the wall was broke down, which really symbolized for a lot of the people where they came from. Right. So just imagine, I don't know if you've ever had a house that was destroyed after you left. But if you go back and look at it, and it's like, man, I can't believe this happened. Right. So I remember we used to live on 5541 South Norfolk Street, not too far from here. And I would drive through there sometimes. And at one point they were using it for they used it. You can't use it too many times, but they used it to practice putting out fires. So they burned the building. Right. And they were training firemen. And I mean, like, how in the world is that the place to do it, right? But it was our old house. And they practiced burning it down and learning how to put it out. So you would drive by there, and it's just in rubble and shambles. And you're like, wow, that's crazy. That was my house. You know what I mean? Like, growing up. So, I mean, and Hannah's kind of going through that now with the fire that happened at their house, too. So when something happens, especially when it's close to you, you want to get it fixed because there's memories there, right? There's things that there's a whole, some of us, that was a whole childhood that we can remember. I was just telling my kids this week, I was like, yeah, we're different than you guys. That's what I always say. And I think the older people say it too. Like when I was a kid, we were way different than you guys when you were kids. I told them, like, I was outside all the time. We still have video games. We were blessed to be in both sides of that, right? I mean, my parents, they had Atari, maybe, but we had Nintendo and, you know, all the stuff that came out. But I said, we still went outside. So I said, when I was playing basketball, we played basketball, like, almost all the time with neighbors and, you know, kids. They would come to our house. We had the we had like a full court setup. We had the little hoops at first. So, I mean, I would dunk on everybody that came to the neighborhood. Welcome to the neighborhood. Nice to meet you. Boo, let's go, you know. And we had the dunkable hoops. I couldn't palm a real ball. But if it was little kids, I could cuff it. So I was good. So we did that all the time. Played football in the backyard. And our backyard was probably from here to the end of the wall right there, probably a little bit wider. But so I was just telling them it was a lot different. We grew up but it was those memories. Somebody say memories. So I believe it's easy to start something, but in the middle, we really get to see the rubber hit the road, right? So let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm just going to read straight through this. But it so happened, and this is already when they already started building the wall, so right now we're in the middle of this story. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Okay, so what we see even right now, these people don't want them to finish. So what begins to happen is they are here speaking negativity, right, about what's going on, and they're sowing seeds. Somebody say sowing seeds. See, we at church, we always, when offering time comes, we talk about seed sowing. But I'm going to just tell you this. Your whole life is about seed sowing.
Amen.
Amen. Your whole life is really about sowing seeds, and you can sow seeds of good or sow seeds of bad. Has anybody ever planted something and it came out bad?
Amen.
Right? I got a quick story. I bought some lights. I bought some in the bathroom. You know, you have those fluorescent. I don't know if they're fluorescent. Do you have the, what do they call those lights? The heat ones. Halogen lights. So I just went and bought some. They were on sale. The box was open. I was like, oh, this is a deal. Got home. They didn't work. Right? And I'm, I don't know about you. I hate returning stuff. Okay, look. I don't care how bad it is. If it's really bad and I spend a lot of money, then I'd be like, dang, man, I got to take this thing back. But it was $5. I'm like, I don't want to take it back. Precious is like, it's fine. I was like, I don't want the headache. Okay, I don't want to stand in the long line. Why did it not work? I don't know why it didn't work. I bought it from you guys. It should have been, you know, I can't test the light before I get home. How does that work? But in that little story, I don't remember what I was talking about before then. Huh? Right. Well, okay. I was talking about seeds. So that was a negative seed. That light, even though I thought it was good, was a bad seed. Thank you, guys. You know, I'm getting older. I just had a birthday. Hey, man. I was like, oh, what the heck was I talking about? But anyway, sometimes we can even sow good or bad seed in our lives, or we can sow good or bad seeds in other people's lives. I was talking about debt, being debt free, and I was listening to a lady's story yesterday, and she had $260,000 worth of debt, and some of that was from cars, some of that was from her family robbing her and putting, thank God you guys are good, because she said some people use her name to get out $100,000 loans, and I was like, how they do that? But it does happen. So she was like, instead of taking them to jail and everything, I'll be the person, and I was like, God is good, amen. She got a good spirit, amen. And but what I will say is, while she was on that debt freedom, she sold her house, she sold her car, and people were like, you are crazy, right? What are you doing? Why would you sell? She had an Audi car, and it cost like $35,000. Audis are pretty nice cars, right? And she was like, I'm going to sell this. So not only did she sell it, she sold it and still owed $6,000 on it because it was one of those upside down car loans, right? And then she caught the bus for 2 months, and people thought she was crazy. Her friends and her family, hey, she was like, I had some people that was like, hey, how was the bus today? And, you know, other people were like, why are you riding the bus? Right? And she kept on going despite some people sowing negative seeds and some people even sow positive seeds, but she kept on going. And I believe we can keep on going in the middle when we have a proper vision of what we're trying to get to. Amen. Amen? So that's what's happening right here. These Ammonites are really just trying to break down what they're saying and telling them, even if you build this wall, a fox, and foxes are not big. You know, sometimes we think foxes are, foxes are super small. They might be this high off this thing right here, okay? Foxes are not that big. But even if a fox goes up on the wall, it's going to break. That's what they said. Okay. He says here, verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. And I'm going to say this, in the middle, that's when you really got to have a prayer life. You see this? In the middle, instead of, sometimes we get so caught up trying to fight back. Right? Let me prove that person wrong. Right? How many of us have had somebody tell us something won't never happen in your life? And guess what? That's just not the thing to say to most people. Right? You will never, yeah, right, watch, I'm going to show you. Just because you said that, I might not even want it no more. But just because I remember a teacher told me I would never have a Bentley, I was like, what? Now, I don't want a Bentley now. But I'd just be like, I should just buy it for one day. Just so I could say, you know, I had a Bentley, right? But to me, I could fight that, but I'm not really worried. I'm trying to get a Tesla, okay? I want a Tesla. I don't want the gas. I want electricity, all right? I've been looking this stuff up, too. I'm not playing about it. I'm trying to get that car, all right? But what I will say is we have to pray in the midst of that adversity. Because in the middle, somebody say in the middle, that's where adversity comes. Okay? So while I'm on this journey, see, it's easy when you first get saved, right? I got saved, gave my life to the Lord. I'm on fire. Woo! Let me tell this person, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. You should do it too. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Amen? I had a friend that called me yesterday. Hey, man, I'm on my way back to the Lord. He's excited. I hear it. I'm like, praise God, bro. Cool. But the exciting part is in the beginning. But it's in the middle when you're like, God, I gave my life to you, God. I surrendered my life to you, and this is how you repay me? I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I'm trying to keep my mind right. I'm trying to keep my peace. But see, in the middle is the test of even if what your start was really all about. See, that's why, and this is very important for Christians to get, that's why we don't follow God just for blessings. Because there's going to be a time in your life where blessings are going to be lacking. And then you're going to be like, well, God is not really good. No, God is still good, right? Blessings is just the overflow of how good he is. But his goodness should carry you enough, but despite what goes on in your life. Amen? That's why when hard times come, people leave. Because they were based on, okay, God, if I give my life to you, life is going to be good. Your life will be good because you know God. But Jesus promised, he says, I overcame, which when you think of overcame, that means you had to go through something. He said, I overcame, and now I have given you the power to overcome, which means you're going to go through something. Amen. So somebody say, in the middle. Talk to your neighbor, say, get ready for the middle. All right. It says in verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, and all the other ites that have things to say about what you're doing, because there's a lot of people that are ites out there, right? And as soon as you start some, I don't know. That might not be, you know, like, are you serious? Hannah, you're really going to do that? Man, ain't nobody been successful doing that. Why would you do it? Right? That's these are the things that we hear. And sometimes it's from the best people, right? The best people in our lives, our family. Amen? Can I get an amen? Is our family the best? Oh, some of us don't know if they're the best, right? But I'm just saying, like, our family sometimes, even though they're the closest, and since they're the closest to us, they hurt us the most. They hurt us the most because they got, everybody has an opinion. Right? They might got 10, just like fingers. Opinions are just like fingers. Right? Everybody has some. But you got to keep on going. So it says, all the ites heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. Now, why are they mad? This don't have nothing to do with them. But they know what it represented. See, here, this is the thing. Sometimes your enemy knows more about what you're doing than you do. Right? That's why when you get down and pray, you might be like, God, this is very hard for me. It's early in the morning. And you guys heard my testimony. Morning is not my thing. Amen. But getting up early and I'm just going to pray, God, even if me, I'm just being obedient. The devil don't like that. He's like, hold up, man, if he keep doing this. The devil even knows that if you go without prayer 7 days, it'll make you weak. So he's like, wait, if he's starting to pray, it makes him strong. Why? Because I'm humbling myself and saying, God, I don't know the answers. I need you to direct me. Okay, God's power, God's direction is power. Amen? So it says, they got angry and all of them conspired together to come and attack and create confusion. Somebody listen to that. So the enemy is going to attack you to create confusion in your vision. In the middle. In the middle, while you're going through it, the enemy will come to attack you. Do I have any witnesses that this has happened before to you? He will attack you, and while he attacks you, he wants to create confusion. Now, we watch TV, right? Nobody likes to watch a blurry TV. Right? We've all had that happen, or your cable company, that something's wrong with this channel, and you got to call them. I hate doing that stuff, too. Did you try it? Yes, I done tried it all, and that, you're the last resort. You know, I don't call you for the first thing that happens. I'm trying to fix it myself. Right, but when the TV is blurry and you're like, what is going on? That's confusion on the lines. Right, that's what happens with us. The enemy's trying to confuse us. So he's making your vision, because they call it a television, he's making it blurry. He might pull out the cable just a little bit. And if you don't got the cable directly connected to God, you're going to start missing what your vision is. Okay? So he wants to create confusion. And then I like this verse. It says in verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. That's powerful. When your vision is starting to get blurry, nevertheless, go to God in prayer. And it says, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. So what's happening now is Nehemiah, they're building the wall. Now they want to attack them. So not only is Nehemiah having builders, we're going to see what he needs to do now to protect the vision. Somebody say protect the vision. Good Lord. You know what? In 2020, you need to protect the vision. All right, everybody talking about vision. It's good to have vision, but you need to protect it. Amen. And then not your vision, but the vision that God has for you. Amen. Then Jesus said, the strength of the laborer is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Now, that was a scripture I read in my devotion, and that hit me. It's hard to keep on doing things when there's messes around, right? Now, it's hard to cook with a messy kitchen, right? I know it. So, when it gets like that, you need to get rid of some stuff, right? I'm the guy in the house that's always trying to find stuff to throw away. I'm like, the kids haven't played with, I don't think they're going to miss that. Throw it away. Right? This right here, babe, we're not using a fryer no more. We got an electric fire. I mean, electric fryer. Air fryer. We're not using the grease fryers no more. Let's get rid of this thing. Right? It's okay to get rid of some stuff, especially if you're trying to get your vision right. But they said it was too much rubbish. So basically, they were building, and they had, you guys remember the rubbish, that was from the old. And I don't know if you guys know too much about Seattle. Seattle actually just built on top of rubbish downtown. And it was like, the fire happened. Let's just build on top of it. Now, I don't know whose idea that was. But most of downtown is like that. Have anybody been on the underground tour of Seattle? Yeah, I went on when I was a kid. There was rats down there and all kinds. I was like, woo, turn the lights on so we can see. I don't like rats, just for a record. All right. But anyway, there was too much rubbish. Sometimes we got too much stuff in our lives keeping us from getting to the vision. I remember I used to do a whole bunch of stuff around music. I stopped doing the stuff I don't like doing. People were like, hey, Keys, can you do? No, can't do it. I don't like that part. I like creating. I don't like the technical side of stuff. I'm not the guy that, I don't like that. That's not my thing. Now, there's other people, they love that. But I don't like that. So if you want to go to them, then go to them. That's cool. So I just found a bridge to send it over, and then you can go there. Because I don't like wasting my time with stuff I don't like doing. So I had to get rid of, even in the music, I had to get rid of stuff that kept me from being the best that I can be. We have to do the same thing in our lives. Amen. Verse 11 says, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come in the midst and kill them and cause them to work to cease, or cause their work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, for whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned, somebody say positioned, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Now, that's something that God says constantly in the Bible. I mean, you Joshua chapter 1, if you need some strength, just read that first 9-10 verses. It say don't be afraid like almost every. It just basically says do not be afraid, da, 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 and don't be afraid. Then it says, hey, and be of good courage and don't be afraid. Why? Because God was really trying to get something to Joshua, and I believe he says the same thing to his people today. Do not be afraid, because see, in the middle of your journey, you get to those places where what if it actually happens? Right. What if all this hard work actually pays off? One of my friends that I do music with, Shakia, she has a song that is called What If You Win? She says, and when she talks about it, many of us, we prepare for a rainy day. Right. Just in case it doesn't work. But how come none of us prepare just in case it does work? Right. See, athletes, they are working for their whole life to get to the NFL, the NBA or whatever sport they're in. And that's when they get paid. But see, since they didn't prepare for when that was going to happen, there's a lot of great athletes that are broke now. And you're like, how did that? I mean, I'm just listening to some stuff, like I said, with the financial, trying to be financially free, right? If you have $1 million in an account, right? And some of these people have multi-million dollars, but just listen to what I'm going to say real quick. If you have $1 million in an account and you have an account that gives you a 5% return on your money, or even you can even put it into some of those CDs or whatever, okay? If you do that, you would make $50,000 a year, okay? Now, let's say if I had multiple accounts like that, I never would have to touch the money. Whoops, sorry. I would never have to touch the money, the million. I'm just living off, and you might have to pay taxes. I understand that. But guess what? Taxes is not as bad as being broke. Right? But what I'm trying to say is, if you set up a system, it will help you when that stuff comes. I remember when I was working at a daycare slash like after school program, and with some of the workers, one day I was like, "What would you do with $1 million?" You know, because we all want to be a million, and some of them like, "I don't know." You know, so I just started writing, okay, cool. And she don't know, he don't know. I know. All right, so I wrote it out. I'm going to buy this. Pay my tithes first. I did say that, just for the record. Amen. And then I was like, let me put this over here. Let me save this money right here. I want to buy a house, and I want to buy, what kind of car did I tell you guys I want to get? No Bentley no more. I'm over that guy telling me that, okay? I want a Tesla, right? But what I'm saying is I have a plan. So when it happens, it's not like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know about you. Have you ever had like, some of us are still young, but some of us have had like, $10,000 or $30,000 in our pocket at once. Has that ever happened to you? You had to go pay something, or you got at least at least do a cashier's check. Okay. But if you have that in your hand, it's scary. Sometimes when you don't know what you're going to do with it, because you're like, oh, I could, but I got to go pay this bill. And, you know, sometimes you be walking towards that place and be like, whoa, wait. Maybe I could, you know, and I'm calling presence, you know, I'm thinking about it. And, you know, it's like, no, do what you prepare to do. But see, if I didn't have any preparation, you know, it's like when people get tax money, they got shoes, clothes, and debt. Right? They're not even thinking about the debt. So they just keep on going all year. And I can't wait till I get that tax return. When I get that tax, I mean, people talking about their taxes in the middle of the summertime. Like, hey, bro, you got a whole 9-10 months, you know, if you get it early, you know. But they don't have a plan. Okay, so we're back to Nehemiah. They had to create a plan because the enemy was coming against them. So what they began to do is they had builders. So they had somebody doing, let's just say somebody painting. And right behind them, they had somebody with the swords just in case the enemy wanted to try to come in. And then eventually they started having both the tools to build and the tools for war. Why? Because they had a vision and they weren't not going to allow the enemy to stop them from getting that thing done. Amen. So you have to have a vision, but you also, like I said, you have to protect the vision. Amen. Okay, verse 14, let's go back there. And it says, and I looked around and said to those nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your souls, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So even when you're going through in the middle, you have to remember the Lord and the purpose. And not only the purpose for you, but for generations to come. See, we talked about seeds earlier. So your seeds that you sow, the Bible talks about it sometimes that your seeds are going to affect generations, right? So the seed that I sow, I have to make sure that I want to see that sow, that seed be produced in my children's. And then one day when my kids, you know, I talk to my kids, I say, hey, son, when you have a son, he's going to be named Marquise the Third, okay? Let's keep this thing rolling, you know, that way everything that's in my name, it'll be yours. You know, it's not even a problem, right? And Keith is like, okay, Dad, you know, because he's still, every time I talk about girls, he get those lips. I'm like, you didn't like none of those girls that you saw? Why you always talk to me about this? It's funny, man. Kayla the same way. But I have to fight to keep the vision. I have to protect it and fight for my kids. Amen. Chris looked like he got some witnesses over there, huh? And it says in verse 15, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing. Oh, I like that part. See, it wasn't just them staying at it. It's God working. Okay? When you stay the course with God, he's going to work on your behalf. Amen. That's why there's some stuff that has came and God blocked it. Hey, right. We got songs like that, right? God blocked it. My enemies was coming. You know, my haters was hating, right? And God blocked it. God stopped it. Thank God, because when you stay the course, he will do that. It says that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Verse 17 says, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. That's what I was telling you happened earlier. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. So whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Somebody tell somebody God is fighting for you. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. God is fighting for you. Verse 21 says, so we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appear. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servant, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. And I like the Bible because it says they still took baths. It's kind of funny. That's how the chapter ends. It says, and everybody never took their clothes off except for washing. You know, just so they know that they were human beings, right? But what we see here is, and I'm going to close with this, they had a vision, and we don't even see the end of it in this chapter. You can continue to read the book of Nehemiah just so you can read it and just see what happens. But they kept on going, even in the midst of adversity. In their middle, they said, I'm not going to stop because I'm facing something, right? I'm going to make a plan of attack, right? And I will protect the vision that God has given me. So I wanted to share that with us as, you know, as we're getting into the new year. Some of us have already started things, right? There's things we've started. Like I was going to say, Trish, you're in the middle of a pregnancy. That's probably the toughest time, right? She's like, I can't wait for this baby to come, right? We don't want the baby to come yet, but we just like, hey, that's how you get when you are in the middle of things. Right. My wife, she's like, it's so funny when we were at every time we had to go to the doctor, she would try to tell the doctors what, you know, and I'm like, Precious, you're not listening. You know, like, listen to what they're saying. They got wisdom. They've done this before. You know, you've done it twice, maybe. Right. Now, the last couple times she did that. But anyway, what I'm saying is we want to rush things. We want things to happen faster than they need to be. But we also must understand that in the time that God has, he is building and he's fighting for us. But he wants you to protect the vision that you have. Amen. So in the middle, don't stop. In the middle, don't sow seeds of discouragement. Don't sow seeds that cause you to doubt. And even if people are around you like that, sometimes you got to say, hey, man, I'm going to have to separate myself for a season. Right? Because I can't have that negative. I don't do negative well, right? I'm not, my friend Tammy was saying every time he goes to the gym, there was this lady that she would always come and be like, yeah, this is happening. So what he started doing every time he saw her, he was like, what's good? Yeah. Talk about what's good. I don't want to hear the negativity. Please tell me what's good. And, you know, when people, sometimes they're like, oh man, you messed me up. Why? Because some people, that's all they want to do is show negativity. Sow negativity, but we got to sow good. And in your middle, because we're all in the middle of something, in your middle, don't stop. In your middle, keep on, knowing that God is fighting for you. Keep the vision and protect the vision. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray to God that this word would encourage us to keep on going, dear God. Despite what's going on in our lives, we know that you are still good. We know that, God, that we can come to you, dear God, with our problems. We can come to you even with our questions. And, dear God, you can clarify the vision that you have for us, oh God. And we thank you for who you are and what you are doing even at this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Praise God. What we do, the reason why we do that is so that we got something that we can hold on to. We know that it was good. Now that's a little accountability. So when you're going through, when you leave this place, know that in your middle, God is with you. Amen. All right. And I'm going to give it back to Pastor Franklin, and he can tell you what the announcements are.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.